Today, getting the measure of the real estate industry. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. And today I'm joined by George from ITC. Hi, George.
Hi, Martin. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. And you were just telling me off camera that it's been crazy, crazy. You came back early from leave because things are pretty mad at the moment.
Yes. Well, what's happening is that we're getting close to the deadline for all these agents to meet their CPD obligations, which will be from the 22nd of March, 2021, where they will have to have fulfilled their obligations. And let me tell you, there's a lot out there that haven't.
So let's just be clear, CPD is?
Yeah, continuing professional development.
Yeah.
So that's a requirement for all license and certificate holders have to undertake to basically stay in the industry. They did have to do it prior to their renewal of their license, and that all changed as of the 23rd of March 2020. So what it is now, they have to do a certain amount of hours each CPD year, which will start from the 23rd of March of the year and then finish at the following March of the next year.
There's
a lot out there that haven't fulfilled their obligations in that period. And that's why I had to come back early. I was scheduled to come back next week, and which is the 11th. And I decided to come back a week earlier because of the demand to get their training done. So,
right. And just to be clear, this is for each real estate agent working in the industry in New South Wales.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
So
it's a continuous process. So it's not like you can do it 1 year and then tick and forget it. Basically, there's a continuous process. Now, each year they have to do a certain amount of continuous training.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And there's different training for a certain class of license. So if you're a class three agent, so you're an assistant agent, there is certain training you have to do as a class three. If you're a class two agent, which is a fully licensed agent, there's training you have to do, which is set by Fair Trading. And same with the class ones, who are the licensees. There's a lot, there's actually quite a lot. And in an office environment, it really does require a systematic approach to make sure that it's being administered properly across the whole office.
Right, and let me go back a step, because this is relatively new, isn't it? So they've brought in effectively a whole bunch of additional training and other obligations. Why has this been done?
Yeah, we'll see. The CBD scheme's been around since 2004, and there's been some issues around the policing and whether the scheme has actually maintained consumer confidence or improved knowledge and skills in the industry. But look, for quite some time, they've been looking at, you know, revolutionising the education for real estate agents in New South Wales and in, you know, increasing the barrier to entry. It was always going to happen, and it finally came into force in 2020, 23rd of March 2020. And so what they did is they increased the CPD requirements. They made them more rigorous. The plan is that by 2024, if you're a certificate registration holder, you have to transition to a certificate four in real estate practice by that time and be ready to become a class two licensed agent. The other thing is the class ones, Martin, the licensees in charge, if you want to run your own real estate practice in New South Wales, you not only need to have 2 years experience working under direct supervision of a licensee in charge and hold a class two license, but you also have to have done the diploma in property agency management, which is 12 units, all based on running the business. And then you are there's also experience requirements that have to be signed off as well. And then the Ausfair Trading will issue you with that class of license. The issue we're finding in New South Wales at the moment is most of the agencies haven't transitioned across so that they're actually operating their business at that class one level. So a lot of them are still out there listing and selling and managing properties at the class two, when they really should be appointing their staff to do that job. And their role is to run the business, is to run the operations of the business. So challenging times ahead. And I dare say there's going to be a bit of bloodshed before we see the other side, where it will be a more professional industry that hopefully will have respect in the community.
Right. And just to be clear, those obligations were put on the industry, not by the industry itself, but they were basically imposed by New South Wales, weren't they?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. There had been some consultation with industry bodies, but the office of, like, the REI New South Wales and the Strata Institute, but the Office of Fair Trading were always motivated to improve the standards of the industry. They knew it had to happen, and it's probably come in at the worst possible time because of the pandemic that we're experiencing at the moment. And there was also the residential tenancy regulations that came in at the same time. So they've sort of been double whammied, so to speak, with a whole raft of changes. And the industry as we know it is not conducive to change. It's it's an industry that finds it very hard to move in a different direction. It doesn't happen overnight. And that's what I said earlier before, there's probably going to be a bit of bloodshed before we see light at the end of the tunnel.
Right. Now, one of the interesting things about the structure industry is there are quite a few agents who work just, you know, part-time, 1 or 2 days a week or a fortnight or something, right, rather than they being in full-time roles. Do you think there's going to be a shakeout of those part-timers because of this obligation?
Yeah, well, what we're seeing at the moment is a lot of the assistant agents, and that's the class three license holders who have to transition to a class two by 2024, some of them have said to us that they don't know if they want to be in the industry and to pursue a career, as a license, as a class two or a class one, and have said that they will probably look at other employment options. There has been others who have just not done anything about it and would be waiting for their licensee to drive that and obviously pay for that training. What we see there is that there's going to be potential closures because if you get to that deadline and the obligations haven't been met, then technically the agents are suspended from actually continually working in the industry. So so that's what we see could happen, that there would be potential closures. There will be a mass exodus of assistant agents leave the industry. There are issues with certain people at the front desk who are carrying out trust account activities, who have been informed that they do need to hold at least an assistant agent certificate. And that would then mean, Martin, that their training doesn't finish there. They have to then continue their studies until they are a class two agent. And what the Office of Fair Trading have done, they've end dated all the certificates to 2024. So they're giving the assistant agents time to transition across. And they're also using CPD as a pathway to getting their qualification. But it's not easy to manage it, because if you look at an office that might have 10 staff and 6 of those staff could be assistant agents, they've all got to do a minimum of 3 units per CPD year from the qualification. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of training and assessment tools that have to be applied. And then there's the signing off of all the work. And it's a team effort. And there's just a lot out there that won't won't pass that test.
Okay, that's very interesting. Now, in terms of the curriculum that's there and people need to cover, you know, are there particular modules that they have to do, or can they pick and choose? And you know, what's the scope of the story that has to be covered?
Yeah, so the Certificate IV qualification has five core units, which those five core units do actually make up the assistant agent course.
Right.
That's the Certificate Registration as Assistant Agent. Now, once you've worked in the industry for 12 months, you then can apply for your Class 2 license, providing you've done the other 13 units of the Certificate IV qualification. And that they're the units you would do as part of your CPD training. There are elective. We actually choose the elective subjects we think that are right for the industry. The core units, and there are specific units in the groups of the training package that the student has to undertake. But there are a few electives that we have the choice at our own discretion to offer to our students. There's 18 units, and in the diploma, you've got 12 units, which are all based on business management functions.
Right, so I was gonna say—
some electives that you can choose from them as well.
Right, yeah. Okay, yeah. So there is a bunch around business management and, you know, the finance stuff.
Correct.
As well as some of the other business, well, let's call it business behavior, business practice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So you've got things like subjects like branding your agency, developing strategies to target certain customers in the marketplace in order to sustain growth or to obviously generate leads. It's all part of your business planning, and that's obviously a unit of competency that a licensee would need to do and obviously adapt that into the business.
Right. And to what extent is the course also covering the interaction between the agent and the vendors or the potential buyers?
Yeah. Firstly, at the assistant agent level, they're learning more about legislation, interpreting legislation, interpreting ethical practices. They're learning about maintaining trust account management. They're learning about professional practice as an assistant agent. When they partake the Certificate IV qualification, that's when they're doing more interaction with the landlords, the vendors, the tenants, obviously the buyers, and there are key units around selling, managing tenancy relationships. So they learn a lot of that side of it in the Cert IV qualification. That's what we're working with at the moment.
Right. So to be clear, most of it is then about the internal workings of an agency and the obligations that agents have with regard to the way they manage their business.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And it's getting a lot more rigorous than it was in previous years. And what they're trying to do is to get the barrier of entry to the same level of some of the other industry sectors, like the finance sector, the conveyancing sector. And, it's not easy because, as I said to you earlier, the industry isn't conducive to change. It's not something that you can just switch a light bulb and it's going to happen. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah, interesting. Now, I've got two sort of follow-up questions. The first is, in terms of your mode of delivery, I guess a lot of it's online, is it?
Yeah, we do quite a fair bit of face-to-face at our head office here in Newcastle. Mm. We do face-to-face courses in clubs around the Hunter region, and we do correspondence courses. We don't actually have an online portal set up for online training. We found doing it where we just send through a zip folder with all the materials and have a good interaction on email has worked really well for the last 20 odd years. But we've also trialed video conference software as well, but found that to be a bit too clunky, given that it's all competency-based training, and the software for conferences is more based on meetings and conference style type presentations.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. And then the other question I had was, I know that there are real estate agencies that actually don't necessarily have English as their first language.
Yes.
So how is that being tackled?
Yes. We come across a little bit of that here in the Hunter region. It's more prominent in the metropolitan areas. What you'll find is that where it concerns us, we have found that, we have a language literacy and numeracy form that we provide to our students to fill out to get an idea of what those difficulties are. If there are difficulties, we try and get an interpreter to come in if we can, or we find that so far, most of the people that we've encountered who have broken English have been able to do the course quite comfortably. In actual fact, some of our best students are people who have English as their second language.
Mm.
And their handwriting skills we've found with a lot of these students has been very, very good. So never underestimate the foreign person when it comes to doing a real estate course. But yeah, I believe in the metropolitan areas there would be certain support from regulators, and there would be certain people working in the companies that actually have had that lingo. They can actually speak that language, and they're able to manage the risk that way, and it's not a problem. But it's never mind. It's still a challenging prospect for any training provider to have to address and to make sure that they're actually providing that training still in line with the national training standards, and issuing a statement of attainment or qualification to them like anyone else.
Absolutely, very interesting. Well, just before we end, let me just broaden the conversation slightly, because clearly you've got your finger on the pulse of the industry at the moment. And how do you think it's tracking?
Well, I think from an operational standpoint, there's still a lot of work to go. There's still a lot of restructuring around the back end side of the business. In the past, there's been too much front end focus and not enough on the back end side. And that's because it's a sales driven industry. Mm. It has been for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
We're now moving more to a risk-based culture type, a compliance type culture industry where, as I said earlier, licensees have to position themselves in the back end of the business and really focus on training their property managers, their salespeople, taking advantage of new technologies, working with HR people, implementing new procedures around trust accounting, or their pricing practices have to be looked at closely to make sure that the agents in the office are actually following checklists, understand the matters that need to be looked at when determining the estimated selling price, making sure that their advertising practices are in line with consumer law. There's a lot of that isn't being that isn't coming out from the industry as well as it should, because again, there's still that strong culture around listings, sales, getting tenants in properties. It's a very results-driven industry. I think from a market standpoint, there's still a long way to go before we know where things are going to end up in terms of price falls and every market's different. But I mean, in the Hunter region, things are still tricking along because of the supply shortage. Mm. But I think the real risk lies for the industry at the moment is definitely the operational side, Martin. I think that there's going to be some bloodshed on that side of things before we see any significant changes in the market, so to speak, unless of course interest rates go up or there's a major announcement from the government. I tend to think there'll be some compliance issues identified and Office Fair Trading going into offices and looking at records, looking at procedures and possibly imposing fines.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's where I was going to take the conversation, because it seems to me that the big question that I've got is who is actually policing the industry? Because clearly self-regulation and, you know, self-management isn't sufficient. And do you think that they have sufficient resources to be able to do their job?
Yeah, look, many years ago, there was a national harmonisation project put on the table to try and harmonise all the state-based legislation with a view to creating a national strain property regulator, like an ASIC, like an ASIC, who obviously administered the finance sector. It was back in 2010, and there was a project put on the table, but it never got lifted off the ground because there wasn't enough meetings where the heads of government would come together and set up steering committees for different areas, you know, agent, tenancy, what else was there? There was the conveyancing. And that's the other thing too. It's quite complex to try and change the constitution to give the power of land and real estate to the Commonwealth, because that has to happen as well. But the short and curly, like, that didn't happen. And the short and curly of the answer now is that, no, they don't have sufficient resources to properly police the industry. There has been a lot of cutting of jobs in the public sector. I think when we go back to when Barry O'Farrell was the premier, there was a lot of cutting of jobs in the public sector, and there was amalgamation of government departments. And I don't think that the regulators have recovered from that period. And we've seen, you know, the emergence of Service New South Wales. We've seen the emergence of the Department of Customer Service, which is all connected to New South Wales Fair Trading. It's kind of clunky in a way, Martin, because there's no real person that is properly steering the ship in this space. We are always grappling with policy to try and get things changed in legislation, or you know, to get more people on the ground looking at you know, procedures, assisting the industry on you know, on what direction they need to go, and to obviously pitch any new regulation changes, pitch them clearly and concisely. And unfortunately, those boxes aren't being ticked. So it's still a work in progress. And I like to think that things are going to get better with technology. There is, you know, we're expecting to see a portal that will be rolled out soon, where licenses and certificates, well, qualifications can all be uploaded to that system. And they will be, you know, policing a lot of that from the back end side. And, you know, my sources tell me that that's the direction they want to take with policing in the future. I don't know how effective that's going to be, but, you know, this is a big industry, Martin, and it really should be managed from the national level now, where, you know, you've got, you know, market regulators overseeing the conduct of real estate agents, and also the practices that have been carried out in the marketplace. That would be much more effective and make more sense. And the industry is just too big to be managed at the state-based level now. You know, we've got, you know, there's a lot of areas within the property sector that have to be constantly monitored and you know, police to obviously reduce distortions in the marketplace and to protect our economy.
Absolutely. Well, it's a very interesting subject and very important subject. As you say, it's such a critical part of the economy. And my own perspective is that, you know, the regulatory process are relatively deficient in areas. The level of skills across the industry varies remarkably. There are some really good agents, and there are some who need to do a lot more work. And so at least the focus now is getting that basic skill set to work. But I think it is going to be a long, slow evolution. I appreciate your time today, George. If people want to find out more about what you do, where do they go?
Yeah, so there's the industry training consultants website. That's itc.nsw.edu.au. That is all for our courses. And we also have the Agent Safe for Real Estate website. So that's a work health and safety management system we built 5 years ago that was partially supported by Jobs for New South Wales, which is designed to make it easier for the industry to do all their safety checks and to meet their workplace health and safety responsibilities. And that's another big area.
Well, maybe we'll come back and explore that in another chat. But I think this is a really, really important subject because, you know, our general audience needs to understand that this is an industry that essentially is on a journey of improvement. But I think the journey has a long, long way to go. And you've been highlighting some of those points under all power to your elbow in terms of what you're doing, in terms of helping to drive the agenda there.
Absolutely, and I'll continue to get more grey by the year. As it gets harder, I get more greyer.
It goes with the territory, I fear. Yeah.
No rest for the wicked for me.
Well, George, I appreciate your time today. Thank you very much for that. And let's come back down the track and have another explore as to some of those other areas that you touched on. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely, Martin. Thank you for having me.
Terrific. Thanks. Bye.